Scuttlebucks fans, remember to subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, other platforms. That way you'll get a free alert as soon as it posts at joebucksfan.com. We thank Bill Curry Ford for making the podcast available. We love Bill Curry Ford. General Manager Sean Sullivan has a Joe Bucks fan discount waiting for you at all times. Plus, he will help you with anything you need, even if you're not buying a vehicle. BillCurryFord.com. You can find his address there. And Buck fans, you can find Joe Bucks fan and Ira Kaufman, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, this Sunday at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. All the details at JoeBucksFan.com. Watch the game with Ira.
Broadcasting from the ESPN Tallahassee studios in Florida's capital city and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Scuttlebucks on 97.9 ESPN Radio. The Scuttlebucks with Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years and home of the nationwide lifetime warranty for new and pre-owned vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Here's ESPN Tallahassee's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
It's a little bit more like it as we get underway. The Bucks coming off a win. We figured they would against the Carolina Panthers. Didn't have to get that interesting, I don't suppose. It did. Bucks take care of business, though. Late run, Leonard Fournette seals the deal, and so it is. We're talking about a victory as the Bucks get set to take on the Broncos. Injury riddled, bad offensive line, all that good stuff. And suddenly, the prognosis is good. I'm Jeff, that's Tom. Voice guy told you that. Good to be with you. Welcome to the Scuttlebucks. Well, we'll have Lita Kemper come on in a little bit, JoeBucksFan.com. I know we're Hillside on this. We're thinking Leonard Fournette's the guy now, starting this week?
Well, after the poor exchange between Brady and Ronald Jones, I think that was the opening, and Leonard certainly took advantage of it. He ran harder as the game went along. I just don't know what you can do in terms of situations. When Leonard's in the game, he's not going to be into pass pro. He's either going to release on a route or you're going to give him the ball and just run straight downhill. I think identity-wise, we're trying to force-feed this run-first thing a little bit too much. But, I mean, you can't complain with the way the game ended, and you can't complain with the idea that Leonard Fournette in limited touches went over 100 yards. Yes, sir, that'll do.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing here with Leonard Fournette. I think we fall in love with a guy being that big, able to run that fast, which is really exceptional to think about. And terrifying, I should say, if I'm a member of a secondary of opposing team and he gets to the third level. But he has a lot of limitations in his game, too, and we can't lose sight of that. So you're going to continue to see a lot of Ronald Jones and, for that matter, Shady McCoy, who's going to catch the ball out of the backfield a lot. So, you know, this is going to be a group that they rotate, but there's a place for everybody.
Yeah, like this game, this past game was good, certainly better than the Saints game in terms of execution, but it wasn't perfect. And that's the thing for me is, like, I know it's a little bit less fun, and football's supposed to be about fun and a break, but when you go from Jameis as your quarterback, a lot of young core pieces that you're trying to grow together to make a window wide for, you know, playoff success and Super Bowl runs. When you go from that to Brady and you got about 2 years on the clock and the clock is ticking. It changes everything about how I consume the game. I'm consuming the game as it's Super Bowl or bust. Let's grade ourselves against the best of the best. Any small mistake that looks like it's going to be repeated or repeatable, that I weight heavier because this is not about going 10-6 and making the playoffs.
Right.
This is about, you know, peaking at the right time and getting better every week to look like a championship caliber team by the time we get into the winter months.
Yeah, you didn't make this move to just compete to win a division. I mean, you made the move that you made, and the subsequent moves afterwards were all built around we're trying to win right now. And not win a little bit, win the whole damn thing. Now, you also did it for PR reasons and jersey sales and all of that, and that's going to happen no matter what. So that part of it checks off. But you got to win games, and you got to get better and better, and there are areas where they can get better and better. I think in particular offensively they can be much more consistent, and they have to figure out what they are. And, you know, to this degree, I think we're all wondering exactly what Brady is. There are moments where you see you know, sort of his command and intelligence pre-snap and all the stuff that made him special for so long. And then there are moments where you can see the wear and tear of age and the inaccuracies that have cropped up over the last 2 years that didn't used to exist in his passing. So, you know, he's missed a couple wide open throws off of play action that never used to happen. He was the king of play action, and he was throwing darts almost the entirety of 20 plus years.
There's also one out of every 7 or 8 throws that he just airmails out of bounds or something where you go, I don't know what that was.
That's weird.
2nd and 10. Let's move along.
Yeah, we're just going to pretend that didn't happen. Maybe his finger's broken and I don't know about it. Yeah, no, just strange things there. You know, the oddity here, and we won't spend a whole hell of a lot of time breaking down this upcoming Denver game. Not that Denver can't win. It's the NFL. Any team can beat any team on a given Sunday. We know the cliche, but it's true. It's an 8-8 league. It's a salary cap league. But the Bucs should win this game. In particular, it's a bad matchup for Denver. You lose all that they do due to injury. Your starting quarterback, for starters, that's a toughie. But their offensive line's not very good, and the Bucs' defensive line is very good. So where the games are won and lost typically are the line of scrimmage. This doesn't match up well for Denver. That's a problem. That said, I think the big picture conversation is about our head coach again. Who, you know, are we going to do this thing every week where he starts some sort of controversy and people might say, well, it's just his willingness to be brutally honest and to be blunt. I, too, am blunt. I am, I'd like to say, a realist, as I pronounce from time to time, and I'm pragmatic. But I also understand that you don't have to start arguments and fires where there need not be one, when you could certainly just, move on to the next question. Every time he's asked, you know, so I'll give you an example. He's asked about the fumble between Brady and Ronald Jones. And Ronald Jones is responsible for that fumble. Okay, well, I knew that and you knew that. I watched it, you watched it. It's the way, it's the manner, it's the terse way in which he talks about the mistakes made by his players, including Tom Brady, and then the Gronk thing that happened. I'm like, you don't have to be pissed off. You don't have to roll the guys under the bus. It's going to always sound like you're almost anti the guy.
Well, so look at Belichick versus Arians. And I'm not talking about accomplishments, just about the demeanor. Belichick won't give you a thing on the dais, but he will rip you a new, you know what, in the meeting room. And that is
one
of the reasons why Tom apparently wanted to leave. He's like, all right, enough. Like, it's 20 years, dude. I've been your man for 20 years.
Won some Super Bowls around here.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he's frustrated a little bit. And last week, Brady's presser, when it was brought to his attention, mm-hmm. and the question was asked about, you know, do you care about that blunt criticism? And clearly Tom is not a fan of the tact that Bruce took when criticizing Brady's play in week 1. Yeah, I hear you. You're creating problems where there aren't problems. But I don't sense that the locker room is, like, I don't think he's lost it. I don't think he's losing it. I think that, like,
the locker room. You think he's
marbles,
lost it everywhere.
I think he's lost marbles a long time ago. Like, I think that is, like, just empirically true. And he's a wild card. And I don't like wild cards when we're trying to put it all together and win the whole thing.
Sure.
But I think the guys will run through fire for him still. They just know that, oh, that's just Bruce. But the problem is, if you start losing games that you're not supposed to in a consistent manner, and you're looking at 4 or 5 losses through your first 11 or 12 games, and it's going to get close, at that point, it could become an issue. But for right now, if the defense continues to put a smile on our face every single week, and I feel like it's going to, and then the offense does enough and cuts down on the stupid plays and doesn't turn the ball over deep in enemy territory, all that kind of stuff, then we'll be able to just kind of put it to the side, because the NFL, like no other sport, winning cures everything. And winning pushes everything to the side. Antonio Brown was a Pittsburgh Steeler for how long? And my God, what Mike Tomlin had to put up with, as we learned.
To deal with that.
Once he left, we learned the scope to which Mike Tomlin probably shaved decades off of his life to deal with Antonio Brown. But we never heard about it, because winning solves all that stuff.
It does. And I'm not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill. I'm just noting that it seems like every week now, Arians makes national news for a quote. Part of that is just a heightened spotlight that is on the Bucs because of Tom Brady.
Indeed.
But part of it is because he makes national headlines for saying something about a player.
Well, Brady's sideline reactions become social media fodder immediately. When he drops the F-bomb last week, it goes viral. When he's smiling 20 minutes later, it goes viral.
Yeah. What should continue to excite Bucs fans, and we got to get straight to the point, is, you know, I'm going to get giddy every time I talk about the defense. And Winfield is a kid that is easy to like. They really have playmakers at every level of this defense. They're fast. And what I really like so far, is that many of the stars in this defense sort of have a no-nonsense, old-school approach to tackling, to hitting, to inflicting pain, to intimidation. It's an old-school brand of bully football on defense, and everybody does their job, and they're fast to the ball, and they trigger, and they'll hit you.
And they're laughing while they're doing it.
They're having a blast.
They're having a big time.
Well, Bowles gets all this credit. I mean, listen, Jason Light gets a lot of credit, too. He's drafted well on that side of the ball. There's a lot of really good players there. It looks like he's got another great one. An emerging star, in fact, in that secondary. I think that the enthusiasm with which they play and the way they pick each other up, this speaks to a real camaraderie of a unit that when you think about great defense, it's always a collective thing.
Well, and it's not all negative for Bruce. I mean, it's he and Light that go get a guy like Bowles, because I don't know that Todd says yes to Tampa without Bruce being
sure,
here.
Sure.
And then, you know, Byron, that's not what we signed up for. We signed up for Bruce to be the offensive guru.
But we didn't know that Bruce to hand had it already, off. Yeah, that ship had sailed.
Okay, but after year one, you bring in somebody who can fortify that room, the discussions, the game plans, in Tom Brady. I mean, that's so from a CEO standpoint, there's a lot of good in setting up the structure of what we're doing because, you know, I don't think we're smiling as much without Todd Bowles developing, especially the secondary, specifically the secondary, as much as he has the last 6 to 10 regular season football games over the last two seasons.
Well, yeah, basically it starts week 11, week 12. Things turn around all the way for the Bucs' pass defense, which was terrible preceding that. I mean, this was a group that defensively, they gave up 31 points a game through the first 11 weeks of the season last year, 400 and something yards. They couldn't play. They were, and that was despite the fact that they had made teams one-dimensional by shutting down the run.
Yeah, a couple of things I saw in this game that give me hope for the offense. And I don't think like the offense is a lost cause. Don't get me wrong. It's just pains
are
frustrating.
Yeah, they'll be okay.
So it's the relationship between Brady and Evans, the back shoulder throw, and the
huge
look that they give each other. Like, that's important. It's
That was a result of repping and knowing the other, yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And by the way, Schlereth did a great job on the call.
He was fantastic.
Yes, he really was. As terrible as he was on ESPN and Mike and Mike.
He's good at that role, by the way. Yeah, he's good at that.
The other thing I'd say is the moment where Brady, he talks to Fournette. This is before Fournette's first touchdown. There's a completion. We're moving right to left on the TV, on your radio dial. Get inside 5 yard line. And Brady tells Fournette as they're rushing to the line, you ready? Because
yeah,
it's coming to you.
Yeah.
Little moments like that where it looks like guys are comfortable with each other. That matters greatly. Because look at that defense. They're able to communicate like that. That's what they do.
Well, it's also why you brought a Tom Brady in. That kind of leadership, that kind of authority, that kind of willingness to talk and get guys on the same page and explain it in the moment. Like, this is a guy that gets it, the big picture stuff, and he's concerned. I mean, I think, judging by comments that came out of camp, that locker room loves the guy, and they listen to him. He's got the bona fides.
Well, and the best play he made was a drop by McCoy. Now, McCoy made two or three really important plays early in the game where he catches it, gets small, and
drops
gets past the chains.
Drops an easy touchdown in the end zone, yes.
That's the best play I've seen out of Brady in a long time. And, you know,
buys time, throws a dime, yes.
We're all forced to watch a lot of Tom Brady as NFL fans. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I just started watching him, you know, in week one this year. But, he bails out Wirfs, one of Wirfs' few missed assignments so far through 2 weeks.
Another good game for him.
That's about as pocket mobile as you'll ever see, Tom Brady, to get outside, break the pocket, and make that kind of throw.
Well, there's
Miller
awareness.
Drops a touchdown. Grayson drops a probable touchdown or an inside the 20 catch. Tom was much better in this game.
He also has a touchdown, a walk-in touchdown that he underthrows by 10 yards that we have to catch off a flea flicker.
That's on Watson, yeah.
Really rather ridiculous, but it happens. Okay, I think that's what we're going to get there.
I don't know that he got his hand on the ball the right way. He was just trying to get it out as soon as he could. That looked like a Peyton Manning throw.
Peyton
was famous for, you know, ducks that just got there.
I was like, that's not good. That's not ideal. I hope that slipped. Okay, didn't have a good grip. I can live with it. Lita Kemper, JoeBucksFan.com. Going to join us next. Stay tuned.
Shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
We'll bring Lita Kemper in just a moment. JoeBucksFan.com, the website. Before we do, yet another reminder, our thanks to Bill Curry Ford sponsoring the show. McCurdy Ford's general manager, Sean Sullivan, he's not messing around when it comes to his love for the Buccaneers and his desire to help you out as you shop for a new car. He'll help you personally, whether it be by phone, email, inside the beautiful Bill Curry Ford showroom. That's just 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Sean Sullivan will give you a Scuttlebucks / Joe Bucks fan discount, too. And he's going to try again to do everything in his power to help you at Bill Curry Ford. That's the family service you can expect from Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of the Ford for the past 60 years. Get shopping today at BillCurryFord.com. That's BillCurryFord.com. Let's welcome him in now, Lee DeKemper, JoeBucksFan.com, the website. Lee, I think we're relatively relaxed as we go into this Denver game. I know that can be a mistake in the NFL. The difference between good teams and bad teams is not as great as it sometimes appears. But, boy, Denver is really beat up. Their offensive line is not very good at all. They got a backup quarterback, and the Bucs look like a team that at the very least is emerging to the upper echelon defensively and beginning to figure some things out offensively. Things got to be good on JoeBucksFan.com right about now. I imagine the folks doing the messaging are in a good mood.
They're generally in a good mood. And how you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a little bit of tension. I don't know if tension is the right word or angst. I think angst is a better word. And the angst is, are the Bucs wasting Gronkowski and O.J. Howard? Specifically, is Bruce Arians wasting Rob Gronkowski and O.J. Howard? That's the angst that's going on. And obviously, Arians spoke about this a couple times this week, about the tight end situation. First, he said, hey, you know, we don't throw the tight ends. That's not our offense. That's what we got receivers for. And then later in the week, he said, you know, he was asked about Gronk and his targets. And, hey, he's got to get open. If he gets five catches, he gets five catches. If he gets 10 catches, he gets 10 catches. He's got to be open, and it's about the defense. So, and I don't, although I understand the angst, I'll use that word again, why they're not using the tight ends, I don't really have a huge issue with it as we speak. And the reason why I say that is, it's, I guess you could sort of call it physical analytics, if that makes sense. You've got two of the top wide receivers in the league. OG Howe or Chris Godwin, Mike Evans. You have one tight end that looks like, although he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, it sure looks like the game has passed him by. He's an old man. I love the guy, but, you know, hey, you don't fight with Father Time. You have a second tight end who has never, ever lived up to the hype of where he was drafted. So why would you not throw to your wide receivers? They're your playmakers. They're your best players. I get in a grand scheme of things, you want to spread the ball out. You want to utilize your talent. The way I'm thinking about it, not that I'm defending Arians, but I understand the line of thinking. You've got two of the top 10 wide receivers in the league. Use those guys, unless, of course, they're covered. So I sort of get that. I again, in a big ballpark picture, you want to spread the ball out. You want to spread the wealth. You got the talent to do that. But I also understand, use your playmaker. And so I get it, what Arians is saying.
Well, all you got to do, I would imagine that many of the people that are sounding the alarm bells regarding Gronkowski haven't watched the games. If you watch the two games, there's a couple of things that stand out. First of all, you might point out that Tom Brady, who knows exactly who Gronk is or is not, has targeted him a vast total of four times. Total, four times. Moreover, when you watch Gronkowski play and move, he looks shot. He looks completely shot. He's not nimble of foot at all. He's slow. He's not running past anybody like he used to. And that was the thing that was so impressive, was that safeties weren't big enough and they weren't strong enough to deal with him. Linebackers couldn't run with him. He could outrun linebackers. And he had all of that to go along with good hands, and he was an excellent blocker. I think he can still be an excellent blocker. I think that's how we're going to utilize him. He is not going to be a force in the passing game because he can't be anymore. He looks shot.
I've mentioned your first point. I've mentioned it to people. I said, you don't think Tom Brady wants to throw the ball to Gronk? That's his safety valve. He knows him better than anybody. So if Brady, his good buddy, isn't throwing to him, that might tell you something. That, oh, by the way, Gronk may not be open. He's not going to force the ball to Gronk.
I think the other thing here, Lee, I'm thinking about Joe Bucks fan. Okay. I think the other thing, Lee, is that honestly, I guess when I look at it, there's one way that Gronk can prove me wrong here, and it could very well happen, and I'd be happy to see it because I'd like the Bucks to be as good as they possibly can be. And a healthier, more fluid Gronk does that. Maybe the time away from football really is something that he's adjusting to now. You know, remember, he had to put all that weight back on. He's not going to be what he was anyhow, just because injuries mount, and even if he recovered from them, they take their toll to go along with age. So he's not going to be the prolific pass catcher and dominant figure in the passing game that he was in New England in his prime before all those injuries, but he could be something better than he is now. So I would tell Bucks fans, if I'm going to be wrong here, maybe it's going to be that we get into week 4, week 5, week 6, and he's acclimated a little bit better both to the offense and his body, and he comes around in a little bit more productive way in the passing game. But I really, as the guy I see right now when I watch these games, is really just a shell of himself, and I would just best utilize him as a blocker.
You're exactly right. And what you stated earlier was, and that's part of my hope as well, that this is rust, and that in the second half of the season, he will hopefully have shaken off that rust. But right now, Russ has nothing to do with speed. And right now it looks like he's lost his speed. I guess the best analogy to use about Gronk is Jason Witten. Jason Witten was a pretty good tight end, obviously, when he retired. He went to the broadcast booth, did Monday Night Football for a year, wasn't very good at that, returned to football, adequate at best. I mean, he was still able to play, but he wasn't the same Witten.
No, he wasn't even close to the same wit, and it actually always makes me sad when I see something like that. By the way, I'm kind of curious your opinion on something. Who's been more impressive so far in the receiving core, Miller or Watson?
Watson, only because Miller's dropped too many passes. I mean, he's getting open, and you could tell in training camp that he was clearly Tom Brady's new BFF, but he's dropped too many passes for my liking. But he's getting open, so I give him credit. Watson, because I don't think anybody expected anything from Watson. I think a devout Bucks fan that was very objective and honest with himself wondered if Watson was even going to make the team this year. He was definitely a bubble player. And so I would have to say Watson, only because he's getting some production when it was in doubt if he was going to make the 53-man roster. Whereas Miller, it was pretty much not guaranteed, but everybody assumed he was going to make it. And people kept talking about Miller from training camp. I saw the same thing, too. But he really hasn't produced that much. He's dropped more balls than he really has caught balls, if you want to think about it. So I would say Watson.
Pardon me. The strength of this team is unquestionably the defense. The attention will reside with Tom Brady and this offense. And it's easy because, it brings about clicks and sells whatever. I was going to say newspapers, but they don't exist anymore. So I get what draws eyes to screens in this case, and it's going to be Tom Brady in the offense. But in truth, right now, when I sit around and I keep telling Tom, and I don't have to tell him anything, but we keep talking about.
Damn right.
Yeah.
What I do
is I say, you know what? I can't stop watching this defense. I just love watching them. I think they're going to get better and better and better. It's just a joy to watch these safeties. And you know what? Congratulations, Jason Light. You got it right. You look at this defense and those draft picks over the last several years. Look at Devin White right now. Man, this is a group that is hell-bent on inflicting pain. It is a joy to watch them play football.
The middle of that defense is very impressive. Now, Villa is playing 100%. I've been told, not by someone who worked with the team, by the way, I've been told his right hand's really bothered him, that he can't use his right hand hardly at all. And he often, when he's healthy, he uses that right hand to grab. Of course you would. Your defense back, your nose back. He had hurt his hand in the summer. I don't know. No one's told me if it's accurate or a story or it was half-truth or what. Supposedly, he hurt his hand in a weightlifting accident. And he was wearing a club in training camp. He had surgery of some sort on the hand. The Bucks are rather vague about it. I don't like it, but I understand why they're being vague. And he doesn't like that club. So he's not using the club in the games, but he can't use, from what I've been told, he can't use his right hand. And so basically he's playing without a right hand. If he could play up to his capability, you know, when he's healthy, like he usually does, the middle of that defense, Winfield, White, Villa, that's pretty damn solid. And I agree with you about Winfield. And Steve Isbitt's my business partner at JoeBucksFan.com. He told me Monday, he said, man, when this guy blitzes, doesn't he remind you of Rondé Barber? I said, yeah, he does. And I thought that was a very good point that he made, astute observation. And oddly enough, late middle of this past week, Rondé Barber did a breakdown video of the Bucks for Buccaneers.com, and he highlighted Winfield. Now, he didn't compare himself to Winfield, but what he did say, he showed a couple plays, one of which was his form tackling. Rondé Barber said, you could use this clip in a teaching clinic on a teaching video of how a safety should tackle. And this is the second game. This is the second game he was talking about. And coming from Rondé Barber, I thought that was very high praise.
At times, Lee, he takes over games. I mean, he's played two games, and he's had spates in those games where he took over, where every time you look up, he's the guy making the play, either disrupting or tackling. It was incredible to watch. I get more enamored with him every time I see him line up. There's a whole lot of football what for to him, too. He's not just fast. He's got a physical makeup to him. This is really potentially very, very exciting. I think for all the years that we've watched the Buccaneers, and I go back all the way to the late 70s when they became a franchise, and you know, obviously the miraculous run of 1979, I was 8 years old. But I will tell you something that I always think about Tampa Bay, and that is that its identity, when they're good, is on defense. And so when you watch this defense and you see them play at this level, I think they have a chance to be a top five defense. I think it conjures up the fond memories, of which they're fleeting. There's not that many, but you think about the dominance of the defense of the Super Bowl team, and you think about those years with Leroy Selman. You know that that's what this team is, this franchise is, and that's where they can really take control of the division is defensively.
I absolutely agree. And a guy that I'm impressed with, and he's on a run here. What I mean by that is he's a string of really good games. Carlton Davis, the cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
He's really been on the string. I mean, you look at some of the guys he shut down the last five or six games. Obviously, that goes back in the last year. I mean, it's DeAndre Hopkins. It's Michael Thomas a couple times. I mean, he's really, really doing really nice play. And by the way, about the defense, I'll give you something else about the defense. Christian McCaffrey can't do anything against the Bucs defense because Todd Bowles took it over. How long has it been, and this just annoys me to no end, that stars in the division absolutely took the lunch money from the Bucks, slapped them around and took their lunch money? Julio Jones, how many years has he lit up the Bucks? Drew Brees, same way. Cam Newton, before that. Now you have a star in the NFC South, Christian McCaffrey, who can't do anything against the Bucks, relatively speaking. He's way below his average against the Bucs. Way below. And matter of fact, Todd Bowles, someone like this one-liner I'm going to drop on you, Todd Bowles has such a hex on Christian McCaffrey, he found a way for Vernon Hargraves to stonewall him.
Probably the best play of the entire season last year.
The best play of Vernon Hargraves' career.
Well, really, the only play of his career. He's never made a play outside of that one. That's the only play he's ever made. So there you go. I'm glad we all got to see it in prime time.
But I mean, not only is that refreshing, that finally a star in the division is shut down by the Bucs. I'll tell you something else that's refreshing. Through the lost decade, I call it the lost decade. Steve and I call it the lost decade. Because it was literally lost. I mean, you just want to purge it from your memory bank. How many players did the Bucs literally give up on? Just throw across the side of the Pirates. Michael Bennett, Darrell Revis, LeGarrette Blount, even Mason Foster, Donald Penn, countless guys they just tossed away, and these guys wound up, if not being in a Pro Bowl, starting for playoff teams. Now the Bucs have flipped that. The idiot Caldwell up in Jacksonville gets rid of Leonard Leonard Fournette. The Bucs pick him up, and boom, he has the game-stealing touchdown run Sunday against the stinking Panthers.
I like us this week, and we don't. You and I don't usually get into into the specifics of a score, but I like the Bucs. The Denver's offensive line's terrible. They got a backup quarterback. A good team goes and takes care of business, or the Bucs take care of business against Denver, I should say. And I just really quickly, the only other question I have for you, because I know you're very excited about this, is I'm assuming you're starting Leonard Fournette from here on out, right?
You would hope so. You really would hope so. The thing I loved about Fournette, this is the last running back the Bucs have had since LeGarrette Blount that at any point he could take it to the house. We're into our third season of Ronald Jones. I'm not anti-Ronald Jones. Like I said on Ira Kaufman's podcast, I'm not anti-Ronald Jones. I'm pro-production. I'm pro-production. I don't care what your name is. Don't care what your number is. Don't care what college you came from. None of that matters to me. Production is what matters. I've been waiting now into two games into the third season of Ronald Jones for him to take something to the house. Not a three-yard run like John Gruden used to say. How do you like which one of those three-yard runs is your favorite? That's what I say about Ronald Jones. Every once in a while he'll get a 12-yard run, 15-yard run. He's never taken one to the house. That's what I like about Fournette. That's what I like about LeGarrette Blount. Even Doug Martin couldn't do it. He'd get some really good runs, but he always get caught from behind. So finally the Bucs have a running back, and Leonard Fournette obviously has a resume of doing this. Every time he touches the ball, he's got an opportunity to take it to the house.
Yeah, he's deceptively fast for his size. There's no doubt he's deceptively fast for his size. It is cool to watch him run away. Now, granted, they were basically in goal line, and once he got past the first group, that was it. But he did run away. He did run away and hide. And you're right. That is something that has been sorely lacking in Tampa for, well, ever. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. Always a pleasure, brother. Be well.
Jeff, thanks a lot. Right. Have a good one.
You too. Take care. Lee DeKemper, JoeBucksFan.com. Yeah, we teed him up there. That's a softball for Lee. He hates Ronald Jones.
Well, that's true. Even the Super Bowl team, Michael Pittman wasn't going to go run away and hide. He'd get hawked down on the regular. Mike Allstott wasn't going to do it.
No, unless he ran over seven.
He could.
Yeah, he could. Yeah.
His house call had chalk outlines along the way.
There were dead men laying
breadcrumbs.
Yeah, spread out throughout the landscape. That's true. But I would say again, that was impressive. It's not that he scored because they were selling out to stop it. It's that he ran away. Was that a linebacker or a safety that he ran away from?
I forget, but he exceeded 20 miles an hour. Yeah, there was a next-gen stat on his speed there.
Yeah, a guy that big shouldn't run that fast. That's exceedingly worrisome if you are on the third level of a defense. That's not what you want to see coming at you. Scuttlebucks, come back. Wrap it up.
1 second, real quick. Sorry.
Yeah?
So 21.44 miles per hour. That's the second fastest ball carrier in week two.
Yeah, that's...
That's hauling ass.
No, I like it. I thought when we got him, he would eventually be the guy. And I'm not as anti-Ronald Jones as Lee, but I'm fine with Leonard Fournette taking over the role. I think he's the better back and will be. He just doesn't pass block worth a damn. All right, now we'll see the Scuttlebucks. Coming back in a moment.
Shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
Feels like a very relaxed version of the Scuttlebucks today, doesn't it? I think I don't like this place of supreme confidence we're coming from. I'm not accustomed to it. But in truth, I mean, you know, we were very, very relaxed last week when we talked about that matchup against the Carolina Panthers. They've just been so gutted on defense that you really just thought if the Bucks had it together at all, that they would be able to win that game comfortably. Now, they made it, unfortunately, a lot more interesting than it needed to be. It's any time now, Tom, you can stop throwing picks. But, you know, that thing turns out to be somewhat tenuous. And then, obviously, the very reason you bring in Leonard Fournette is how you close the game out. And this figures to be a very similar situation with Denver being beat up with injury.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is just, if you look at last week's game and how Carolina clawed back into it, one thing is turnovers. The other thing is Teddy Bridgewater's just really tough. And I thought, for all the times that sideline reporting is useless, we actually got a good one last week. Mm-hmm. The story about the diving that he did on his vacation.
Yeah, with the knee and everything.
And that point he said, you know what? All right.
I can do it
and I can go play. And he played fearless. And quarterbacks against this pass rush, against this defense with as much pressure, with the speed of David and White, the amount of pressure that we could put on a quarterback, you better be in it. You better be in it to trade punishment for success and plays down the field. Bridgewater was. I thought he played extremely tough, but I don't know that Jeff Driskel is ready to do that as a backup in the NFL. And honestly, even if he is for, say, the first quarter, if we keep coming at you in waves, you're going to yell uncle at some point and make a really, really dumb decision. So that's the fun part about this defense is you're talking about a closer on offense and Leonard Fournette. Well, the closer on a defense is a pass rush and the pressure that you can generate. And I thought, even though he didn't register a sack, I thought Shaq Barrett came alive late in the game. Let's see if that continues in Mile High.
You know, you look at this, Godwin set to return for Tampa Bay, so you get your best weapon back, and you get, again, a Denver team that is, hey, listen, lifetime Brady has a losing record against the Broncos. I wonder how many teams you can say that about. Of course, this is not the same scenario. One, Tom Brady's no longer with the New England Patriots, and B, this is not the Denver team that was dominating everybody on defense. It's a good defense, but they've suffered a lot of injuries, so this should be a pedestrian effort that is good enough to win it. Now, hopefully he plays great, and we're talking about that, but he doesn't have to be, I don't think, in order to get this win. Where's Denver's offense going to come from? You just got done talking about it. I don't see it. If you're looking, you know, you and I from time to time will reveal the fact that we kind of have fun as sporting guys. How's Denver going to score?
Shots down the field to Judy is the best I can do for you.
Okay. I mean, that you're going to have a guy just straight up get beat, but yeah. I don't.
Judy's, blazing fast. But, I mean,
of course.
You're asking me for a way. I'm not saying that I think it's likely that it's going to happen to the tune of four catches for 150 and two scores. It's
right.
Just, if you're looking for something.
Yeah, I just don't see it. I think this defense is the essence of this football team. Everybody will talk about Gronk, and they'll talk about Brady, and they'll talk about the running back situation, and is the Bucs offensive line good enough? And week to week, you can listen to pundits wonder aloud what the Bucs are going to be offensively because it's a more interesting story. But really, to me, if we just talk about hardcore football guys watching something that brings you great joy, it is the emergence from about week 12 of last year to where we are currently this year with this defense and those guys, in particular in the secondary, and then also good drafting from Jason White deserves credit. We are physical. We are fast. Now, I'll grant you, we're not incredibly deep, but at every level, the Bucs are better than most defensively.
Yeah, well, you're trying to judge this team if you are a fan that looks at the expectations the way the organization has projected them. You're trying to look at this as a championship club, as an NFC title contender, as a Super Bowl contender, and you've got to judge it on that curve. If I'm trying to find ghosts, I'd find a ghost with the lack of Vita Vea's ability to stay on the field. His snap count is really low, and you're about to go to Mile High. And Denver's ready for that. Even though they played in Pittsburgh last week, their bodies are conditioned to play at altitude. And if I'm looking at Sue and Vita, and I'm saying, all right, and Ndamukong usually is good for some snaps, but what if the altitude messes with him, and Vita usually is only good for 60%, and that's got to get better, but you're at altitude. You need the depth of your D-line to show up because maybe, you know, Denver can surprise you. And the fatigue factor is worth a field goal or a touchdown swing one way or the other. But you've got to put a bunch of cards in a row in order for Denver to be competitive in this game. It's not just that. It'd have to be the turnovers. They continue for us. Short fields generated off of turnovers. It'd have to be a special teams blunder, too. Like, a lot of things have to go wrong in order for Denver to be in this game to win it.
Well, in particular, this is an offensive line that one could argue is one of the three or four worst offensive lines in the National Football League. I'm talking about Denver's, with a backup quarterback against a defense that really is stout. I have a hard time. Hey, it's the NFL. People beat people all the time that you're left wondering how the hell that happened. I get it. The difference between the best teams in this league and the worst teams aren't that great. We get it. It's an 8-8 league, right? I understand all that. I'm not saying Denver can't win. You're right. There are scenarios by which the Bucks help Denver out with turnovers, whatever it might be. But if we're just talking about matchups where football games are won, in particular the line of scrimmage where football games are won, woo, it's a tough day at the office for Denver against this Bucks defense. And by the way, because I got on him after week one, I certainly have to mention him now. And Dominican Sue was a man possessed in this last game. That's the guy, right, where you're looking at him going, okay, there it is, glad he came back.
Well, and this is where the pressures can help you out. When you have the closing speed at the second level like the Bucks do, and there are times where Bowles brought both David and White, and that is just so scary if you're a quarterback. You know, there's going to be single attention paid to Ndamukong or Vita or Barrett.
Gotta
or
win
Pierre
one-on-one
Paul.
One matchups there all day long.
Right. It's just, I mean, you know, it's not a zero blitz necessarily that Bowles is bringing, but if you bring five and one of them is one of those linebackers and you've got that starting front four out there, that's, I mean, any team, be it the class of the AFC, like Kansas City would have to think twice about that. And that's the fun part about this defense.
Well, and I think you're touching on something that as we move on into the season is going to be fun to gauge. You know, for those of you old enough to hearken back to the Bucks winning the Super Bowl 02, when you watched that season play out, there were check marks. There were moments along the way where you went, oh, that's elite. That's top two or three in the league right there. Okay, that's a continuation of the dominance we saw last year. Oh, this is better on offense to go along with all that speed on defense. And one by one, as the weeks went by, you began to convince yourself. Because remember your mindset back then, Bucks fans. You didn't believe the Bucks could win a Super Bowl because why would you? You know, even though we had been really good for some time before it culminates in a Super Bowl. But you began to check off the boxes where, okay, we're putting ourselves in a position to make a go of it. The Bucks defense, I think, is going to do that for us each passing week because they're only going to get better, I do believe, and knock on wood that they don't get beat up with injuries. But as we watch that, we go, boy, what is Devin White really? Is that a thicker, version of, and maybe not quite as fast, but potentially dominant Derek Brooks-style player? Or is that, you know, you're doing things that now put you in that realm where you begin to wonder, well, are we good enough?
Well, I saw Joe retweeted this morning that there's a show with mic'd up players, I think on Epics, the channel or stream, whatever it is, and McCaffrey pulls Devin White aside and says, you know you're the best in the game.
That's really cool.
For McCaffrey to say that.
Yeah.
Now, he should, because anytime he plays the Bucks, his yards per touch goes way down. So
I think he
believes that.
Yeah, but. Interestingly enough, though, I think he was on his way to having a decent day against us before that injury. But, yeah, I mean, yeah.
But at every wave, right? I mean, the defensive line, you've got two edge rushers you like. You've got interior linemen that you really like. Linebacker, of course, we just talked about those two. But then think about its safety.
Oh,
what has Winfield been but a godsend?
I bragged about him the first week we did the show. I'm so impressed with him. Every time I look up, I go, my God, this guy.
And Whitehead wants to rip your head off.
They both do, really.
It's
They're both
beautiful.
Very physical.
It's just the corners. That's the thing that as the season goes along, you know, I know there's been a lot of lauding of corner play. I think it's average to above average, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's better than that.
I think it's above average, Tom, but I also am reminded that it's a league built around the passing offense and the rules are in place.
You're designed to fail.
You're going to give up plays. You just can't avoid it. You're going to give up plays because the league wants you to give up plays. So you're grading against a different curve than you were even 5 to 10 years ago, and that's why I'd say they're above average. Good work out of you. Our thanks to Lita Kemper from JoeBucksFan.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. I think we're both taking the Bucks. I don't know. I don't get mixed up with the scores, but I'll tell you what I will do. I'll go, how's 31-10 sound?
Sounds good. I'll say 27-13. I mean, you know what, in the NFL, unlike any other sport, like college is style points, right? Because you want to be in the playoff hunt and all that. We'll forget about what the hell the score was by week 10. If you just win it, move along, stay healthy.
It's survive and advance, survive and advance. You're right about that. Good work. Go Bucks. We'll talk to you next time.